Books of the Bible. The Apostle John wrote a second epistle, which warned about false teachers who take advantage of Christian hospitality to spread false doctrine. As you continue to walk in love, be careful to distinguish between truth and error. False teachers have no fellowship with God. Therefore, God's people are to have no fellowship with false teachers. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, we are back. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd on campus at Kennesaw State University. And when we left him just before the break, he was talking to Jacob, a Christian, who Todd just asked, pretty big question, what does it mean to be born again?
So what do you suppose he was getting at when he said you've got to be born again? Specifically, something has to take place here for those words to even make sense. Do you know what he was getting at?
I guess, but
here's what I think he was saying, all right? Because the Bible says that human beings are dead in our trespasses and in our sins. And we need to be made born again. We can't be made born again physically, because that would mean going into your mother's womb, and that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? So we've got to be born again spiritually. And so Jesus was saying, you've got to die to yourself. You've got to come to that place where you get downwind, and you smell yourself, and you realize, I am not a good person. I'm a bad man, and I've sinned against God, and it would be so right for him to throw me to hell. But because Jesus came to rescue me and to save me, I want to turn from my sins and I want to put my trust in him. I want to be dead to my old self and alive and live for him. That's what it means to be born again. It's a pretty radical sort of thing. So here's the big question then for you personally, Jacob. Would you say that you are born again? That you came to that place where you went, I am a hellbound sinner, and Jesus rescued me, and he is my only hope, and I want to die to myself and live for him. Has that happened in your life? Are you born again?
I'm pretty sure of it.
Why pretty sure?
I mean, that's just sure as I really get. There's, I feel like there's always, the only thing that there's not doubt in is my faith, really. And, you know, there's a chance that I'll face struggles again down the road. I'm a pretty young person. We'll see if my faith, you know, halters at all, but I'd say just about, you know, last year, I really, you know, I sat there and I thought to myself, you know, am I really living the life I should be? And are there things that I can change in my life? And I did. I tried to go through some small groups. I started reading my Bible, actually, instead of it just sitting back on some shelves, you know, trying to see, like, what do I really need to do with my life? And I've been working on that, so I feel like that's as much as I can do, work and try to be the best follower of Christ I can.
And just let me just grill you a little deeper. Why are you trying to behave better?
Because, I mean, you're supposed to, it's the right thing to do. God's put out a set of guidelines, the way to act, the right way to act, and if he says it's the right way to act, then
you just want to be obedient.
And I shouldn't try to hold myself to those standards. And, you know, for a lot of them, it makes sense, you know, within yourself morally too. And
now, Jacob, do you think that you're trying to read the Bible or to just kind of clean up your act a little bit? Do you think that that makes you acceptable to God?
No, just because you read the Bible doesn't make you acceptable to God. There's plenty of people that read the Bible, but
talking about your motive, why you do these things. Are you doing it because you want God to accept you, or do you want to do it because it maybe has a good payoff or culturally? Why do you do it?
I started doing it because I just felt within myself that I should. It was more an internal drive. It wasn't trying to get after something, or it wasn't, you know, like saying like, oh, I don't want to go to hell or anything like that. It was more, I felt like a faith blossoming inside me, so I tried to get closer to God because that's all he really wants.
Would you say that you are doing it out of gratitude for what he has done for you by dying for you on a cross?
I could say that. I could also say I'm grateful for the way he's influenced my life, because, you know, I think he tries to touch every person. It's just a matter of whether they accept it or reject it.
Tricky question, so think about the word real carefully. Is Jesus Christ precious to you?
Is he precious to me? You're talking about, say, meaningful and close, that type of precious? I'd say so. We wouldn't be here if he didn't come down and die for our sins, so.
He said something really extreme. He said that you should, by comparison, hate your own mother and father. Now, it doesn't mean that you actually hate them, but he was doing a comparison, that our love for him should be so great that people look at your love for him and think, wow, by comparison, you actually hate your parents. Now, you don't actually hate your parents, but you love him that much. Would you say that's true of you?
I would not say it's true of me, but the way I look at it, it's like a different type of love. So I don't exactly know how I'd measure it or compare it, but I can say that I definitely love my parents a lot, and like you're supposed to, but I don't think I could quantify it. I think it's two separate categories entirely, but.
So here would be the most important thing. I was going to talk to you about this, but this would be so important that as you stand here today, let's just say you drive away and you get T-boned and you are ushered into eternity. Jacob, are you sure that you're born again and you're in God's kingdom?
I don't think there's any certainty of it, but I've tried my best, and I'd like to think I am, and I'd be willing to bet I'm better than most everyone in today's world.
Well, being good isn't the issue, remember, because we're not good, we're forgiven. And actually, Jesus said you can know, because he said if you come unto him, he won't cast you out. You can be guaranteed that you're going to be receiving everlasting life. So his promise is true. So you can actually know, but the question is, do you know that? Because if you have been born again, you've repented and put your trust in him, then you can confidently say, I absolutely am. I am definitely going to be with God forever because Jesus promised it. Would you say that's true of you as you stand here right now?
I'd be willing to say so, yeah.
Good. Here's what the Bible says. A man occasionally should examine himself to see if he's in the truth. So here's some homework for you. As you're driving away, maybe back home, why don't you examine yourself and see if you're in the truth? Between you and God, take a look inside of your heart. Is Jesus precious to me? Am I trying to be obedient because he has been so good to me by dying for me, a rebel sinner? Have I really repented and put my trust in him? I'm not talking about perfection, but your desires are now more for holiness than they are for unrighteousness. Between you and God, make sure that you're a member of the kingdom. And if you're not, all you need to do is call out to him, put your trust in his son, and he promises you, you will have everlasting life. It's a guarantee, and you can know that you will be with him for heaven. And you'll spend the rest of your days wanting to be obedient, wanting to read the Bible, because you want to be obedient to the one who did everything for you. Is that a fair challenge?
That's a pretty fair challenge.
A fair challenge indeed. Actually, Todd, that's a challenge that I would implore all of us to take on a pretty regular basis. And no, not because we should be questioning our salvation. The Bible's pretty clear when it says that we can have assurance in knowing that we're a child of God, but examining ourselves is different. It's taking a magnifying glass to our lives and to our hearts. Does our life line up with our lips? In other words, are we the Christians we're claiming that we are? Because if so, our lives are going to look much different from the old man we used to be, right? The new creation that we are in Christ, our lives will show evidence of progress. Not perfection, not sinlessness, but progressively God will be molding us into the image of his son. And we should see evidence of that when we examine ourselves. And so that challenge that Todd just gave Jacob, I want to extend it to all of us. me included. All right, well, hang tight. We're not done yet. We still have more Witness Wednesday to come. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back here on Wretched Radio. Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. And it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood. Real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines, we're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing, that mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group. And they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. So they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. What do you get when you combine 8 of today's most trusted Christian voices with a commitment to unwavering biblical truth? Well, of course, you get Fortis Institute, your daily source for spiritual strength. We're not offering opinions here. We're providing a fortress of biblical wisdom for these challenging times that we're all living in. Every day, our fellows deliver fresh content that tackles real issues. Dr. John Crott shows you how to integrate theology into daily life. Brad Bigney transforms your struggling marriages into thriving relationships. Greg Gifford helps to bring biblical solutions to anxiety and depression. Plus, get exclusive access to private events, webinars, and studio sessions as a Fortis Insider. The best part? It's all free. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now and join our community of believers who refuse to be tossed to and fro by the cultural waves. From podcasts and videos to live events and daily hot takes, Fortis Institute provides the biblical foundation you need to stand strong. Because in times like these, we need more than just information. We need transformation.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our sanctuary. Through Christ, we find refuge from God's justice and find a safe haven where we can enter into the presence of the Holy God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now we are back with more Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio while Todd and the guys are out on campus at Kennesaw State University. He's had a couple of encouraging conversations thus far today, but look, we're not finished yet. Let's check back in with the guys. You there?
This is Brennan, who goes to Kennesaw State University. And Brennan, when I asked you, do you have any thoughts about your generation and why they are contemplating suicide more than any others? You said what?
I do not know.
You don't know, but you do know that your generation is more inclined than any other to do that.
Correct.
Yourself, have you ever experienced anybody who has committed suicide or thought about it?
I have, actually. I had a football brother on my team last year, my senior year of high school, committed suicide.
Do you have any idea why he did that?
No idea. Completely out of nowhere.
Let's just say I was your dad and you were struggling with stuff. How could I get that information out of you, Brennan?
I guess you just have to become closer with me.
Among other things, I think the issue of purpose is a big one. They don't know what the point is, why they're here, what they're living for. And so life just feels, because of maybe an evolutionary worldview, there's really no transcendent reason for our being, and therefore they get kind of hopeless and think about death.
I agree.
So then my question for you would be, do you have purpose?
Of course.
What is it?
The strive to do great in life.
Why is that your purpose?
I don't know. I really couldn't tell you.
I think another one is hope. People don't have hope for the future. Typically, on a campus, thoughts about the afterlife, like where you go when you die, and really nowhere. You go into the ground, you're worm food, or you get cremated in your dust. And that can be pretty bleak and hopeless. Therefore, put that together with other things, and they contemplate suicide. Thoughts?
I agree with that. Makes complete sense.
What's your hope?
I have a lot of hope in God.
And who is this God that you believe in?
Jesus.
I can tell you're wearing a crucifix, so I kind of figured as much. Okay, so I'm guessing you must be Roman Catholic?
I am, yeah.
So, purpose, hope, I think, are a couple of reasons. I think guilt and shame are other reasons. You leave home, your mom and dad kind of knew what you were up to. They told you not to do bad things, but you can come to a place like this and you can do bad things. How do you deal with those issues?
With my friends. I go to my friends and talk to my friends. They always cheer me up.
But what about the nagging sense of, I've really done bad things and I'm guilty and I don't have a good sense about this because maybe my maker is not pleased with my behavior. How do you deal with that?
I honestly don't really think I've ever been in that state of mind.
Ever?
Ever.
Have you yourself, you've never contemplated taking your life?
No.
So you must have all of these boxes checked somehow.
In a way.
So if I said to you, Brennan, you seem to be pretty stable, seem to have your act together. I want to follow whatever it is that you believe in. Tell me, why should I become a Roman Catholic?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I couldn't tell you that.
You grew up in the faith, I presume?
Yeah.
But have you thought, like, for yourself, this is what I actually believe in wholeheartedly?
To be honest, I really haven't. It's just kind of how I grew up with my parents and everything, and that's what I've been taught, so that's what I follow.
Let me just see if you can articulate for me what is the Roman Catholic understanding of the afterlife?
That's a hard question. I don't think I could.
Fair enough. Can I give it a go? I'm not a Roman Catholic.
Yeah, go for it.
But I'm a Christian. So I would try to reason with you and say, we've got a conscience. And it's talking to us pretty regularly, telling us, shouldn't have done those things. For instance, lying. I've lied. Have you ever lied?
Yes.
Stolen things? I've done that. Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes. I
looked at a woman with lust. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, I have a girlfriend.
And have you ever dishonored your parents?
Yeah, lying.
Have you? By lying, sure, fair enough, right? What about taking God's name in vain?
I have done that before. Not intentionally, but there's been moments.
It's flown out. Okay, so Brennan, what I just did is I just walked you through like five commandments. Lying, stealing, adultery at heart. That's what Jesus said. If you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. You don't do the act necessarily, but even if you think about it, guilty. All right. If you just get angry at somebody, you're a murderer at heart. It's not like you shot somebody, but God sees the intentions of the heart. So our issue is that we are actually guilty. We do have guilt, and there's a reason that God gave us a conscience to know that we're guilty. But now let's fast forward. You're healthy, you're young, but let's say someday God calls your number. Brennan, you stand before God's judgment bench, and he opens the books on your life, and he knows every thought, word, deed, what you've looked at on the computer, perhaps what you've done with your girlfriend, how you treated your parents, all of it. Would he say innocent or guilty about your court case, Brennan?
Innocent.
Explain how.
I feel like I just haven't done anything bad enough in life to be guilty.
But what about the lying, stealing, blasphemy, etc.?
It's all stuff to feel guilty about, but in the long run, is it really going to affect someone's life?
Track with me. See if you follow this. All right? If I lie to my son, do you know what's going to happen to me? Nothing. Because he's my child, and he doesn't have any authority over me. All right. Now, if I lie to my boss, I can get fired. If I lie to my wife, I'm going to sleep on the couch. If I lie to the government, I can go to jail. All right. Now, I did the same thing four times, but the punishment increased each time for the same crime. What changed in the scenario? What causes me to get a bigger punishment for the same issue of lying?
The authority over you.
Who's God?
My authority.
He's the authority over governments. He's the authority over wives. He's the authority over parents. He's the supreme authority. So when you lie, you're actually lying and committing a crime against him. That's why he sees lying as a big deal, because he's high and holy. So Brennan, like the rest of us, you'd be guilty. Would God send you to heaven or to hell?
Heaven.
But you're guilty.
But I'm still a believer.
What does that have to do with it? Let me hopefully resolve what you're not enjoying right now. Right? Because the thought of going to hell is not a nice thought. I don't want it. You don't want it. Am I correct?
Correct.
All right. But here's the conundrum. God is good, and he's kind, but he's holy and righteous and just. So by his nature, he's got to punish lawbreakers. He has to. He's like a judge. He's got to uphold the law. They're his laws. So he's got to punish criminals for their crimes. And you're a criminal who have committed crimes against him. But God wants to save guys like Brennan. But there's a tension here, because we're guilty. He can't overlook the crimes, but he wants to forgive. So here's his plan. He sent his son to die on a cross. And there was something that was happening that was very judicial. God the Father was pouring out the wrath that you deserve on his own beloved son so that your court case can be dismissed. The only way that God can forgive you is if there's a satisfaction of judgment. Jesus was the satisfaction for your judgment. He has taken the punishment for your crimes. And even more than that, because he never sinned, he always did what was right. He honored his parents. He honored women. He never told a lie. He always spoke truth. He accumulated righteousness. And he's actually willing to give that to you and credit you with his righteousness so that you can actually not just be seen as a forgiven criminal, but as the righteousness of God. And that way, God can take you to heaven because you've been forgiven and you've been made righteous by Jesus Christ. That's the Christian faith, Brennan. So here's my question. If forgiveness is available to you, Brennan, how do you get it?
Through praying.
Okay. I think you should pray. But the Bible says something specific when you pray. You need to repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. You turn from your sins. You drop them because you don't want them anymore. And you put your faith in him as if your eternity depended on it, because it does. The Bible says you, Brennan, must repent and put your faith in Christ. Have you done that?
I can't say that I have yet, no.
You think what I'm telling you is true?
Yes.
So, as we sit on this bench, at this moment, you're not forgiven by God, is that correct?
More than likely, yes.
All right, well, maybe you got something to think about today, huh? That God wants to adopt you and forgive you, but you have got to turn from your sins, place your faith in Him. And He promises if you do that, He won't cast you out. You won't be a second-class citizen. He'll make you His child. And He will see you with the same love that He has for His Son, Jesus Christ, because you will be in Christ. So my encouragement to you, my friend, would be don't let the day pass without dealing with this issue. It's the big one in your entire life. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Yep, it is the big one. The biggest one, the biggest issue that you're ever going to reconcile in your life. And hopefully Brennan will get some clarity on where he stands before an infinitely holy God. Let's all be in prayer for that young man. Well, that's another Witness Wednesday in the books. Overall, I think it was a good day at Kennesaw State University. Hopefully we'll have more encouraging conversations next Wednesday. For Todd Friel, I'm Jimmy Hicks, and until tomorrow, go serve your king.